Thank you. We are now opening the Finance Committee meeting for the Town of Discovery Bay on Wednesday, April 3rd, 4:30 p.m. Let's take roll call.
Roll call's been taken. Let the record show all members are present.
Excellent. And now is the time for public comments. Is there anyone on the line?
There's not.
Well, I won't go through the spiel then, but if anybody did want to talk for 3 minutes, they're more than welcome to. No. Okay. Closing public comment. Draft minutes to be approved from the February 21st meeting.
I make a motion to approve draft minutes.
Second?
Aye.
May as well.
Sounds like it's approved.
Okay. Now let's go to DM presentations, the town overlay assessment and town HOA.
Okay, so I will introduce our assistant general manager, Alec Contando. This is his project, and he can introduce our consultants for today.
Yes, good afternoon. So after our last meeting, the committee wanted me to look into maybe possibly exploring some other options to get information to you. And going through CSDA and putting on message boards, and also going through our own finance director, Margaret, this firm came up twice, and it's NBS. And I've had a couple phone calls with Tim Super, who's on the line right now, and I asked him to kind of give an overview of what assessment districts are. I know that there was some interest in an townwide HOA. And so, again, their organization really hadn't dealt with that much, but I think there might be a little information you might be able to present. We're going to see. But ultimately, this was just to give you a little bit of information to see if you want to bring this forward to the board to
Excellent.
Give a little more information to them.
Thank you.
Okay. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, good afternoon. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
If you want to bring up the slides, I will use those as a guide here. Tim Sufert from NBS. I'm over in San Francisco at the moment, so sorry I'm not with you in person, but be that as it may, I was going to quickly go through what often is, an hour discussion in about 10 minutes. So if there are any questions, don't hesitate to interrupt. What we do is work with special districts, cities, towns, school districts, water districts, what have you, all over California, and helping them bring in revenues that the community wants to bring in. So I'm going to focus tonight on some of the conversations that Al and I had. We also do things like rate studies and fee studies, but that's not a topic of conversation tonight. So go ahead and jump to the next slide, please. So I'm going to focus on sort of the three legs of the stool, if you will, in terms of property-related charges. So those are parcel taxes, CFDs, or community facilities districts, and then benefit assessment districts, which I think you're familiar with your landscape and lighting and such. Go to the next slide, please. I hope this is actually pretty helpful. I sent these. I think you've got a copy of them, but this gives you an idea because, California, like all 50 states, has a lot of idiosyncrasies and the way things are done are, unique. But if you look from left to right, in the big picture, generally our taxes pay for things like public safety, police officers on the street, highway patrol, that kind of thing, and sort of, street maintenance. As you go to the right, you go from sort of global benefit to, general benefit, or blended benefit, and then to individual. So if somebody's pulling a building permit, right, that's a very individual thing. Or if they want their utilities undergrounded, if they have, overhead utilities, or they want more services, which is what we're talking about, those generally go into the camp of, fee or assessment or, the specific parcel tax as opposed to a general tax. Next slide, please. So this is what I call the short list. The Community Facilities District, CFD, Melrose, whatever you may have heard it as, has really been one of the most popular things since it was put on the books in 1982. They are, all over the state from top to bottom. And they are basically a type of parcel tax, which is the number two category. So a parcel tax or a special parcel tax, a little bit of redundant language, school districts will use them, communities will use them for everything from, acquiring property to providing enhanced police and fire services, for example. The special benefit assessment district, which is a lot of what the conversation I understand you had, is around. They're both special benefit, or special benefit assessment, the name, people use it in different words, but basically there's a couple of important things there. The assessment provides a benefit, a special benefit. So that might be, enhanced services over what was already there. And by definition, they have to be special. If there's general benefit, the general benefit cannot be charged to the properties. The general benefit has to be paid for, if you will, by other sources of revenue, like basic property taxes or, donations or, other revenues. So you form a benefit assessment district and you look at all the properties within that area and you assign the benefit and thereby the charges, the assessment, to those properties. Let's say it's 90% special benefit, 10% general. So if you're levying $100 in total, $10 has to come from some other source of funding, and then the $90 is that special benefit that goes to the properties within the district. The last one on there is a little bit, almost boutique in a way, but property-related fee is, for example, you may have read recently where the city of Sacramento, the property owners approved property-related fee for storm drain, stormwater services, right? Natomas and Sacramento, they're notoriously in floodplains, right? So that's a fee to enhance the stormwater management capture within the city of Sacramento. And so that's a property-related fee for this service. It's not quite an assessment district, but the voters, if you will, are the property owners. So the parcel tax and the CFD, the number one and two, the people who typically approve those are the registered voters. And on number three and number four, the approvers are the property owners. So whoever owns that property, they could not be a registered voter, they could be a Canadian citizen for that matter, but those are the folks that approve those tools. Go to the next slide, please. This looks simple, but I think it's important, kind of like that spectrum slide, a couple that I showed. A lot of times when we were hired and brought in to help, folks have already jumped in and decided what the tool is, but it really is important to step back and say, what are our priorities? What are our restrictions? What are some of the community dynamics? And really understand the priorities of what you need to do, what are the services you want to provide, and then choose that tool, that special financing district tool, that's what SFD is. So is that a parcel tax? Is that a landscape and lighting assessment district? Is that a property-related fee? And jump to the next one, please. This is going a little more granular on that, on my list, number one and two earlier. So CFDs and parcel taxes. These are not benefit-based, so you don't have to do that benefit analysis that I mentioned earlier. It really just needs to be something reasonable that people can understand, and importantly, it achieves your local goals and policies. As I mentioned, these are generally a two-thirds voter approval. You may have read stories in the last year or two about 50%, exceptions that have happened all across the state. There's about 20 of them based on this court decision a few years ago. But suffice it to say, for this discussion, it's typically a two-thirds voter approval. If there is like a greenfield development and a landowner or developer is involved, you might have read or heard about landowner votes, but for your built-out communities, we're not talking about that kind of a vote. It's basically a two-thirds vote of the registered voters. And then the projects that these can do really, really run the gamut. Parks and libraries, new development stuff, right? If it's a greenfield development, even things like open space, acquiring parklands and donating it to an open space agency or something like that. We've done those all over the state. Next slide, please. So in terms of that benefit assessment district, the landscape and lighting, or a 15 Act, if you've heard of that, or BADs, as they're sometimes called benefit assessment districts, there's a lot of them out in the valley, whether it's, Manteca or wherever. These are benefit-based. You have to do assessment engineering and really show without, beyond sort of reasonable doubt that there's a method to the formula and there's statistics, and you can point to objective facts. Assessment districts have been a little challenged in the last few years in the courts and such, but they are viable if you do the homework and do it right. We form assessment districts all the time. They just have to be difficultly analyzed. It used to be an assessment engineer's report was this thick, now they're this thick. The approval mechanism, as I mentioned earlier, is the property owners give a ballot, not registered voters, and it's essentially a 50% protest ballot. So you only tabulate the ballots that get returned. If you send out, 10 ballots and only 3 get returned, if 2 say yes, you're good. If 2 say no of the 3 returned, then you have to wait in there before you try that again. And then again, projects can be lots of things. You can put in infrastructure. A lot of times the infrastructure for a subdivision, the water, sewer, streets, is done with an assessment district. It can also do ongoing maintenance of parks and roads and that kind of thing. Next slide, we might be getting close here. So the property-related fee that I alluded to earlier, like the city of Sacramento recently approved, and I'm not talking about the water, sewer, trash, which are kind of 3 golden exceptions to the rule. These, they're similar to an assessment district. You have to do an analytical, go through an analytical process and really understand the rigor of it and have a logic to where you're assessing property or charging property. You do then send out a ballot to the property owners, or you can do a registered voter vote if you choose, but that's a two-thirds approval, so higher level. In a community like yours, you probably wouldn't do that. And then the samples, as I mentioned, Sacramento has done one, and then there are county service areas that do a lot of things, road maintenance, park maintenance, fire, safety, that kind of thing. And the next slide, please. Give you a couple examples, again, I could go on forever, but the Greater Vallejo Recreation District to the west of you really needed to get more money for park maintenance. They had lost a lot of money, and then the city of Vallejo, you might remember, went bankrupt some time ago. So they had to not only educate their voters about their district, and they had to distance themselves from the city to some degree, but they really went through this process of engagement, education, and talked about what the needs were, what people wanted to do, what the fairness principles they wanted to have, and then they did polling and education and community meetings. We developed a special tax formula and had an election that was approved by over two-thirds. And so that is in place, and then they're collecting that money today, $250,000 a year, and that goes on the property tax bill, and it's been a success. Okay, I think the last slide, please. This is just to kind of give you an idea of how assessment districts can do a lot of things. You know, from your more typical, you know, neighborhood parks, but they can also do, this was a 1972 act, which is the Landscape and Lighting Assessment District. We actually worked with a landscape architecture firm and the city staff, the public works director there, really took the bull by the horns. And they needed to revamp Burlingame Avenue, which is a pretty high-end retail street that had been forlorn for quite a few years for a number of different reasons. So we were able to form an assessment district, achieve that 50% plus assessment ballot, and was able to put in millions of dollars to change what was a kind of a beat-up, gritty sidewalk into an area that they use for outdoor dining and weekend markets and improved storm drain and all kinds of good stuff. So just gives you an idea of what assessments can do in the greater scheme of things. That's my quick overview. Happy to answer questions or provide a little more detail. I know that was pretty quick.
I don't know how extensive the talks were, Alan, between you two, but so from what you know, what would you think, where would we fit in these options with what is needed? Did you get into talking about what our issues are? And
yes, we talked about what the needs of the town were, mm-hmm. but as Tim and I spoke, there were different avenues that we could approach it mm-hmm. through. We also spoke briefly about HOA. They haven't really done HOA, just like the previous vendor, but they can look into it. But ultimately, it came down to providing monies for services, things that we need in town, like the landscaping, those types of things, parks and rec, that. So Tim is aware of that. It's just the vehicle on which we want to try to do mm-hmm. that. If we want to do that, it has to go to the vote. We have to, Tim and I spoke about, you have to notify the voters, like, hey, this is what we're trying to do, give them the opportunity mm-hmm. to be informed, those sorts of things.
So, Tim, does NBS provide a service that would walk us through that? What's your experience and how long it takes and costs to do it? Just a roundabout.
Sure. Yes, I mean, we've worked with communities all over California, some of your neighbors, Brentwood and Oakley there, and as I mentioned, Sacramento and such. And we are, we're consultants, so it's sort of the, time is money, but it's not six-figure kind of stuff, right? A lot of projects we do are 20, 50, 60,000, but it just depends, on the project. But just for example, you really have to go back to that one slide where you're talking about your priorities and what works for your community. But for example, if you were wanting to go down a parcel tax or CFD route, we would have a conversation on that and kind of like Greater Loyal Recreation District, you'd have to get to that two-thirds approval, which is a high hurdle in California these days. But it is achievable. We've had many of them pass, every year. But you'd have to do the analysis, figure out what to do, get it on the ballot, of course, and see if the community would support it. And that process takes, at minimum 6 months, I would say. There are hearings and things, and really the community interaction is what takes time. You just don't want to rush these. Generally, I found if they're rushed, they don't get approved. 12 months is probably a much better timeline. And when we're talking about the assessment district approach, which is definitely another viable approach, that's a benefit assessment. 12 months is certainly logical. There are required hearings and the ballot process and all of that, that already is almost like 3 to 4 months in and of itself. We've had, no conversations and engagement. So any of that is added on to that very bare bones approval and sort of, bureaucratic timeline, if you will. So, you sit down and you roll up your sleeves and you figure out, what you're going to do, and then you, roll forward with that.
What's your success
rate?
There's
many of them, not too far from you. We formed in, like I said, Patterson, Manteca, Lathrop, et cetera.
Thank you. What do you have an idea of what your success rate is with the agencies you've worked with?
Generally when we're brought in, there's some, there's already some consensus there. I would say, it's certainly well over 50%, probably more like 75-80%, I would say. I can't quote off the top of my head, but there are stats. There's a CaliforniaCityFinance.com tracks a lot of these measures across the state. And I want to say the last few years, almost everything has passed, around, not everything, but the average is like 60% or more, and that's just statewide. That's not us only, of course. The point of that is that, if the communities come together and there is that consensus, these things will pass. A lot of them we've worked on, they get to 70, 80, 90%. Yes, because the community coalesces around, not only what's being done, but how the pie is being divvied up,
Thank you.
I'm good right now.
I'm good. I've asked all my questions.
Any questions? Anyone? No, I think we're good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Tim, very much.
You are welcome. Obviously, follow up with questions and happy to see how we can help.
Absolutely. We'll think of them as soon as we leave. All right, thank you so much. That was enlightening. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim.
Great. All right, have a good evening.
Have a good night.
Thank you. And they hung up?
Yes.
Okay. I think it's quite interesting. What are your thoughts, Ashley? I think it would be something that we could pursue. At least to continue to get more information.
My concern is the cost of it. And he didn't have a great, I would want to see the actual success rates of it.
Yeah.
And just knowing that we approached this, 5 years ago, and it was turned down, and we wasted essentially, we invested close to $50,000, and it sounds like it's a very similar process that they're going to do that we've already done.
But if we, our next step is to, get very specific as to questions and including success rate, including, a better idea of cost. What he quoted there was why, So, okay, we'll take the $20,000 one. So,
and it's 2/3 of the vote of registered voters, correct?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think it depends on the mechanism in which you try to gather the funding.
Right.
If it's going to be the parcel tax, it's 2/3. If it's the assessment, it's going to be 50% plus the one vote. But he didn't mention this necessarily in the phone call, but what we spoke about was, and I alluded to the success rate also, but not in the way that you did, Director. But one of the things we spoke about was, or he asked me, was, well, what is the climate of the town? Is this a town that is going to support taxing themselves for, these additional services? Because that's basically what the committee and the board has to decide if they're going to go forward with this project, which will probably be between 50,000 and 60,000. He didn't give me an exact quote, but he alluded to that. Then once they do the work, like they did the last time with Harris, it never went back to the board. It stayed at the committee level. So I don't know what happened at that time. I wasn't here. But I think the main question needs to be asked is, if we want to spend that money and go forward, do we think that we're going to have the success rate with our voters? And I'm only listening to what I see on social media. I don't necessarily have the pulse of the residents. So I'm just looking to what I see from the social media. So So that will be something that the committee would need to decide if they want to bring it forward to the board, if they want to go forward after the board does. That might be a discussion that the board would want to have, is what is the chances of this being successful after we pay this money to have the study done?
I think my concern is that we have a lot of stuff going on right now. And so in order for us to be successful at any of those things, we probably shouldn't broach them at the same time. So we're looking at doing, obviously, a new building, which has caused quite a bit of controversy over the last year. And we're still not finished with that project and the cost of that project. We're potentially looking at doing a rate study that would increase the rates of our taxpayers. And I think if we burden them with one more thing to vote on, it's going to be money wasted. Yeah, I think it's all about timing, and I don't know if it's the right time right now.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
One of the things that the general manager and I discussed was, you know, and we said the exact same thing basically. But so how do we educate the public to say, okay, this money is going for this. This money is going for this, rather than it's a big pool of money, and it's like you keep asking for money, but are they looking in the right place to see results for the money that they've put into a project? That's where I think the difficulty is in the education portion. When you have multiple projects going on, I agree. I think it takes a lot more, you know, is a community confused rather than just having this one project going at one time.
But going in steps, hopefully we'll be knowing a little bit more about what direction we're going to be taking as far as the building going soon, and then the decision on doing the rate study, and so maybe the timing on this is early next year.
Maybe.
Yeah, so I think we need to revisit it after some of this other stuff is decided, because I think if not, it's going to blow up in our face.
Yeah, it might be just too much to.
Okay, so table until further notice.
I think so.
Decide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think we definitely need to look at it, but.
Okay. You're,
yeah, I think timing is.
Well, and I think here's the other part of it too. I mean, we have a new person in our landscape, managing our landscape crew, and we've already seen like a huge improvement in what things look like in a very small amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it would be good to see a year of what that looks like, you know, and then really have a good understanding and assessment of what we need for our Parks and Rec and landscape, because I don't know if we necessarily had a valid assessment of what was needed, if that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. All right. Moving on to presentation D2. Margaret, how are you?
Hey, Margaret.
Good, thank you. Happy April to you all.
Same. April showers bring May flowers, is that what they say? Hopefully.
So I will be presenting on our presentation. I think Kelly will bring it up on the screen for you all. Perfect. All right. So as I've done in previous finance committee meetings, I'm just giving you an update of our finance results, and this time it's up through February 2024. And then I'll share at the very end some of our finance activities so you understand what we're working on behind the scenes and what would be coming to you in the near future. So with that, we'll go to the next slide. So again, I'll use the same format. If there are information that you want to see slightly different or more information, please do communicate that to us. I'm happy to incorporate additional items as you see necessary. But as this particular slide shows, this is to give you a high-level view of how we're doing in each of our funds. This is, again, through February 2024. You can see water is doing well, and that we have about a net income of about $677,000. Wastewater is a little less than that, but we are still in the positive. Fund 40, which is Zone 8 in the community center, you can see we're ahead of that as well, about $122,000. And then when you get to Fund 41, which is Zone 9, our assessment district, we see about $31,000 there. On the next few slides, we'll go into a little bit more detail on that. So here you have your water. This is our revenues for, again, the first 8 months of the year. You can see we're slightly down compared to budget. I will say largely it's sort of a tiny item relating to that first line item there, which is our charge that we get through the property tax bill. We received, of course, our first one in December. We should receive our second one shortly. Then you'll see this number sort of change, if you will, and we'll be sort of ahead of the game. There are little incremental amounts that come in on the later part of the year, but for the most part, through April, we'll see the bulk of these funds. Meter installation, you can see we're sort of right on track there. Interest earnings now, I've been able to allocate those funds up again through February there. You'll see that we've had a tremendous amount of returns for the town, and this is the allocated portion for water. And you'll see that in each of the funds now, and it's been great to see the results of about, you know, I'll say 70,000 or so a month of interest earnings coming to the town for the funds that has available in California Class, as well as the money market at Five Star. Water charges, you see there we're going to down a little bit there, and so we'll continue to monitor that line item. Meter charges right on target, and the other revenues there. Other includes a variety of things. One of the items that's included in there is our charges that we have for our connection and capacity fees. We did have some a large, I'll say, invoice, if you will, or a billing, if you will, in January to one of our developers, and so those funds are included there. And again, that is one of which we don't typically budget for those because, again, we don't know when if, you know, those developer funds will come in. When they do come in, those funds are used towards capital projects. We do separately account for that, but you can see it there in the total revenue. So again, we're about $3.2 million compared to $3.4 million. You can see from a revenue standpoint, slightly down, but you'll notice on the next slide, we have our expenses. And you can see on this side, you can actually see that our expenses are 2.5 compared to the 3.4. Right. So this is where you'll really see the savings, if you will, or the net income as a result of our expenditures. Now, on this particular line item, you can kind of go through these particular line items where we haven't used as much consultants. Our chemicals are slightly below, if you will, what we anticipated. Our utilities are slightly below what we anticipated. But the biggest change, if you will, is our facility maintenance. So, you know, we, you know, want to, I'll say, reserve, if you will, some of those funds for expenditures for emergencies that may happen, for leaks or whatever. But as we see that those are not materializing, thankfully, then we would be able to use that for appropriate preventive maintenance. We should see some of those dollars being spent in this last quarter here. You see administrative costs. It includes a lot of things. Most notably, what's in there is your insurance costs and some other items, like office supplies, technology, that kind of things. Then you've got your debt service that, again, is through our payments that are there. We will be making our second debt service payment for just the interest portion of it in the next month. And so that certainly it'll be reflected, if you will, in the cash balances coming forward. Again, doing quite well here in water on as far as expenses. So with that, we'll go to the wastewater side. So on wastewater, similar thing, collections for our wastewater. Again, we similar thing, we've got our December, we're waiting on our April. Sewer charge, you can see we're right on target there. You can see the allocated portion for the wastewater, it's about $245,000. And then we have, as you can see there, some capacity fees and other costs. A fair amount of money is put in there, so you can see $4.1 million compared to $4.4 on the budget.
Hey, Margaret, really quick. Sorry, really quick.
Yes, please.
The capacity fees, how come those are so much higher?
Again, it's depending upon what the developer there, it's per parcel,
okay.
And there's a fee associated with each one. And then depending upon if it's water or wastewater, then that's where you see it happen on there. So, again, we do provide. It's not on an annual basis, so I think I did it in the fall. I provided you that information there where it
okay.
Shows you the details, but certainly, if you want to see that prior to that, I certainly am happy to provide it to the general manager to share it with you.
No, that's okay. I was just, I was trying to wrap my brain around it. Mm-hmm. And then you said that, and I was like, so this is probably higher, but the revenue on that other is also higher. So it should, it makes
right,
sense.
Right, exactly. That one, I think I just called it other. So it was like, I think maybe $241,000 compared to $139,000. So again, it was higher, but the numbers are not necessarily split evenly, or, you know, or even some allocated portion is based off of, you know, the parcel charge, and depending upon what is needed, there's a, you know, basically a form that's completed, and then we assess them the fee associated with it.
Okay, thank you.
Margaret, as far as people paying their water bills on time or collections, is that changing at all with the economy kind of difficult for many families? Are you seeing a change?
Certainly. I know that the team behind us all, Terry and Lori, do a great job of connecting with our residents, if you will, and really staying on top of those notices to make sure that we are seeing collections there. So if they are not paying their bills, there is a process of doing door hangs as well as shove notices and all that good stuff. So and with that sort of exercise, we are seeing that people are paying. There are a few that continue to be on the list, and so we continue to work with them, and where possible, I do know that they try to either one, direct them to a state program that unfortunately ended March 21st, but that was a program that was available to our residents. And then second, where necessary, they may do some payment plans to ensure that they pay something so that they can keep, you know, their account active and also stay on top of it. So I don't see very many write-offs pertaining to these accounts, and when there has been, it's because someone has sent a final bill and no longer in the time of service. They made every attempt to reach out to them.
So no major difference comparing this year to last year, as far as percentage.
No, I mean, I can certainly look into it with all the rates.
I'm just curious.
Just
are you saying no, there's not?
At this point, what I know today of the exercise that we go through, I think that they are staying on top of that to ensure that we are keeping people current.
Being in the office, I have not heard a huge uptick in issues yet. So it could be coming.
Okay, well,
I
let's,
don't know,
yeah,
but,
let's hope it doesn't, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, thank you.
All right, next slide, please. Again, wastewater, this is our expenses. So here you'll see that the expenses are a little closer to budget. And, you know, again, it's really reflects, if you will, sort of where we're spending our dollars there. And so we have the biggest one there you can see is facility maintenance. We're much higher on that. There were some costs that came through that we needed to reflect, if you will, and I'm trying to recall specifically the yellow. I apologize, I need to look into that a little bit more. But otherwise, you can see we're right on target with that, and so we'll continue to monitor that facility maintenance line to see where it is. I think it was some purchase that was necessary to catch up with from the previous year. So. All right, the next slide that we have here is on Zone 8. Zone 8, again, is for the landscape and the community center. And so we can see here our property tax. Again, we get that twice a year. So we got our first tranche, if you will, in December. We should get our next one pretty soon. Next tranche comes in this month, and so we'll see sort of how that bears out. But again, that's through the property tax, the county bill, sorry, let me clarify. And so you'll see also on the community center, we're doing quite well with our programming from what we budgeted to what we see here. So that's good to see that people are really utilizing the programs that have been established. The county reimbursement, that was just a portion of that for our special zones and their portion to pay for the use of our vehicles and the staffing that is there to support them. So this helps us to ensure that those costs are covered by the zones that those represent being 35, 57, and 61. Rentals, the big portion of that is actually just between ourselves, between the water and wastewater, paying it over to the Zone 8, since we use that facility for these meetings. So that comes up here in April, so you'll see that come through. The community center fee, that's another one that has come through as a result of the development that's happening around the town of Discovery Bay. And so again, it's per parcel, and those funds, again, will be used towards capital projects. So that's a nice amount of money there to be able to use for some of those things that you guys have been discussing, even on your previous items that's there. You can see the allocated portion for interest, and then we get down to a total that you can see there is pretty much equal, near equal, if you will, to budget. So we're doing well within Zone 8. Next slide. Here is the community center side of the shop, if you will. And so well, here you see about $273,000 of actual dollars compared to a budget of $350,000. Again, every line item is sort of right on the spot with it. Really nothing much more to say there, other than labor is a little bit low, but I think it's, again, a timing thing as it pertains to. We have a lot of labor, if you will, in the summer, if they're not there in the winter months, and then they come back certainly in the later part of the year when we are having more activities within our community center. Next slide. And here is the landscape side. Again, you can see the dollars being spent here. Slightly higher on facility maintenance, but overall, you can see that the budget is $258,000 compared to $286,000, so we're doing well here in Zone 8 through February. Next slide. Zone 9, we've got our assessment income, interest income, and our county reimbursement, similar to what we saw in Zone 8. Again, 109 compared to 115, so again, on the revenue side, we're doing well. And then if we go to the next slide, which is the expenses. On this one here, you see again, we're doing well here, slightly higher on the facility maintenance. But again, I think that sort of flushes itself out between what's on the salary side and the facility maintenance. This is where we use the conservation board to supplement, if you will, staffing to take care of some of those important needs of taking care of our landscapes throughout our areas. And then overall, you can see our budget is 78,000. I'm sorry, our actuals are 78,000. Our budget is 104, so we're doing well within our budget. So that takes us to the end of some of the operating results. Here's just a little update on our capital expenditures. We've got a little dollars being spent towards the main marina project. I know more is coming towards that. The Newport filter repair that is ongoing as well. You can see the dollars associated with that. And now we're starting to see some dollars being expended towards Well 8. And so some of it has come from our own fund, and the rest of it's coming from district funds. And so we're continuing to monitor those dollars associated with that. Next slide shows our wastewater project. And so we've had some additional dollars on our diffuser project. And then our denitrification, and we've had some dollars here. We had some costs that were I'll say moved, if you will. They were previously recorded under denitrification, and now they're properly recorded on the diffuser. And so we took care of that. And so these are near, sort of on the denitrification project. Near the end of the project, you can see we spent about $17.2 million on this project, of which $13 million has come from bond funds. There's a few remaining dollars being spent out of those bond funds, but we will be fully expending that in due time. Next slide shows our activities on our landscape project. So Cornell project, we continue to work towards that project. We did get finally good news that our grant reimbursement request was accepted, and they said check is in the mail in 12 weeks. So we see those funds. But
they're rushing that to us.
They got hurdle of the cost there with them. And then on Clipper Drive, we continue to spend dollars towards this project, and we'll continue to monitor items related to that.
Collection. collect quick, reimburse
slow.
Go ahead. Oh, I thought I heard a question. Again, just to kind of, this slide, nothing really changes other than I just want to keep you updated sort of where our bond funds proceeds are remaining balances. Now we have about $4.7 million still within the water fund, and then about $300,000 wastewater construction proceeds. So we have, like I said, sufficient funds to pay our bills there to pay for those projects. Next slide. This takes us to the final slide for me, which is our upcoming activities. Again, we've been working behind the scenes on developing the budget for the 24-25 year. It was also really, for me, getting a handle on sort of future assessments. I think based off of your last conversation, the better we understand sort of where our costs are relating to, in this case, landscape and the efforts around those areas, I think will help you make good decisions on what's necessary for us and when it's necessary for us to do that. So when I look at a budget, I don't just look at the one year, I really do look out into the future so that we can try to help you make those decisions there. On the next item, the Zone 9 assessment report, at the board meeting this evening, you'll see the process begins. It's under consent, but the process begins with the resolution and the directions for Pruitt to begin looking at the engineer's report so that we can bring that information back and see what changes, if any, will be made to the assessment rate. On the rate study, we are working with our consultant on that and the Prop 218 processes there. We are evaluating the timing associated with bringing that to you. There is some additional data points that are necessary for us, so we will be looking at the timing associated with that. And then finally, of course, as we go through this budget process and looking at these other various things like the water rates and all that, looking at the policies is a good one. So already have begun conversations with our financing team to look at our reserve policy, our debt policy. So I do hope to bring some of those to you both in some in June and then some in August. So we'll be quite busy over the summertime really looking at some of these key financial policies, but I think good ones to address where we are today and where we'd like to be in the future. With that, I believe that takes me to the end of my presentation, but happy to answer any additional questions.
That was good, Margaret. Very thorough.
Yeah.
I do have one question for you.
No, go ahead.
Are you good?
Yeah.
So I understand you're coming for a visit to Discovery Bay. Wonderful.
I'll be up there the week. I'll be
here
at the next board meeting. So I will be up there for the next board meeting. So I'm finally going to be able to make it up there on the 16th and through the 19th. So I'll be
excellent.
There.
That's great. Once you get here and get your schedule figured out, would you let me know? I'd love to sit down with you and pick your brain on a number of things. So.
Happy to do so. I'll coordinate with Dina on that.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have any updates?
No updates.
Would you like to talk about anything, Ashley?
I'm good.
So what are you doing for the week? No, I'm just kidding. So no discussion items, any future agenda items?
Nope.
All right, and with that, we will adjourn the finance meeting at 5:18 p.m.